Today's reading is from Luke, chapter 19, verse 1 through 10, from the Common English Bible. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among the tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being short, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." Here ends the reading.
Recently, I went to the doctor. And I walked in there and I thought, okay, now comes the punishment. Walked back there and the nurse looked at me. She said, "How much you weigh?" I said, 225. She goes, "What was that snicker for over there, big fella?" She said, "Okay, go ahead, step up here on the scale." So I took in a deep breath and I stepped up on the scale. She goes, "More like 255. Whoa. Stepped off the scale. She goes, "How tall are you?" I said, 6 foot. Man, I'm really seeing who our friends are today. I said, 6 foot. She goes, "Well, step over here." And I stepped over the little chart on the wall and I sucked in again and I stood up as straight as I possibly could. She goes, "You're 5'10". She goes, "What's your blood pressure like?" And I just sat there quietly. She goes, "What's your blood pressure like?" I said, "I'm not telling you." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "When I came in here, I was tall and slender. You've made me short and fat. There's no way I'm telling you my blood pressure." I was trying to hide inside myself a little bit there. Today we're talking about Zacchaeus and how he had a funny hiding place. I saw this picture on the internet, and I thought about one of my youth kids years ago. We was on a youth retreat, and we were playing like a game like Capture the Flag, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. Lock it in. We was actually trying to scare the girls' cabin is what it was. And as we were trying to be real stealthy about our attack on the girls' cabin, one of my guys ran to a tree. This was no tree just in particular. It was a sapling. And he stood behind it going like this. 250 pounds of me cannot hide behind a tree. Today I want to play a little game with you. How many of you remember the little song when you was in Sunday school, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man"? Okay, sing it with me. Zacchaeus was a... Now this side. Did you notice this was a lot like singing to the radio? You got to that one part and "Zacchaeus, you come on down." Today we hear that song as a child and we think Zacchaeus was a great guy. Zacchaeus wasn't. He was hated. Zacchaeus was, as the village considered, one of the biggest sinners in all of town. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, folks. Now, I won't say anything because Phyllis is here and she's got a daughter who's a tax people. But we hear the word IRS and we all cringe, don't we? You know, A lot of us, we're real excited about going and turning in our return so we can get our refund back because we've overpaid the government. And then we've got the other ones that are like, we wait till April 14th at like 10:15 to start our taxes. Tax people have never been liked. They've always been judged. And back in Roman times, Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was appointed to this position by the Romans. So everybody who in town was a Jew, they didn't like him because he was connected to those people. And then tax collectors back then, they're kind of like the bloodsuckers that we have nowadays. You know, we give them everything we got that we think we can give them, and they always want two or three more pennies. Back then, the tax collectors, that's how they funded themselves. They tax you what you owe the Roman people, the Roman government, and then they put on their handling tax. It's kind of like buying a ticket from Ticketmaster. You know, you buy a ticket for a concert for $30, and then Ticketmaster hits you for another 15 handling fee, and all they have to do is tell you to go on the internet and print it. They've done nothing. Finally, somebody realizes what I'm talking about. That's the thing. So Zacchaeus, he didn't have a lot of friends, did he? Didn't have a lot of friends. He was kind of alienated. He was kind of an outsider. He was kind of one of those people that nobody wanted to be around. And, you know, have you ever really thought about Zacchaeus' name? Zacchaeus' name, his mom and dad. And when they seen him, he was such a pretty little baby. And she took the little baby out here because I was going to use an analogy. But they took their little baby. And they looked down at the little baby and said, Oh, my baby's so pure, so righteous. I'm going to name my baby Zacchaeus. Pure and righteous. And Zacchaeus grew up to be a tax collector. Not so pure, not so righteous. Gotta have him. Could you imagine all the things that would go to the wayside if we didn't collect taxes? And we all tend to focus on, well, the government's just spending all of our money. They're giving it all away. They're sending it across the pond. I knew I'd get you to laugh. We got to have it. But Zacchaeus went a little farther. Wasn't so pure, wasn't so righteous. Kind of was a hated man. But Zacchaeus had heard stories, folks. He had heard stories over his travels. And he had heard about this guy they called Jesus. And Jesus was in the area. And Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus because Zacchaeus knew that he was a sinner. He knew he was a bad person. He knew that he lacked what it needed to be part of the community that he so longed to be part of. And he thought if he could just run ahead of Jesus, shinny up that tree, and get a peek at Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. By just seeing him, because he'd heard the stories how the lady so longingly reached out there and just touched the garment. And she was healed of her illness just by touching the hem of his garment. And Zacchaeus didn't want to be completely healed, but he wanted some healing. So if I just peek at him a little bit, you know, and we talk about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. Have y'all seen the trees in the Holy Land? You're not climbing up in no tree in the Holy Land and being invisible. You're going to be spotted no matter what your size is. And I would like to think that when Jesus was on his path, he went, what's that guy doing up there in that tree? Let me go find out. And he walks over there and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Now, we look at our little story, and we went through it pretty quick. Those of you that missed it, as you didn't catch all the words, I'm coming to your house today. And we really think that Jesus just went over there and maybe had some coffee and a little bit of a pastry or something other than just kind of hung out. Jesus stayed for several days, folks. Several days did Jesus stay in Zacchaeus' house, and he got to know who Zacchaeus was. And Zacchaeus came back with that next line, and he said those words, Lord, I'm going to give my stuff away. I'm going to try to make myself righteous because you've come into my life. You've showed me the light, Lord. And we kind of skim over that a little bit. We do that in our same life, don't we? There's a lot of times that we hide inside ourselves. We like to play this game that we call hide and seek with God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek with your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. We can play hide and seek with God all day long. We can run and hide and think that we got the best hiding spot ever. We can be behind the tree. And God knows where we're at. He sees us and what we're doing. He experiences our life with us. The joys, the concerns, the pitfalls, and the sins. He experiences all of that. But we're saved by grace, so we don't have to worry about that so much. Because God knows everything we do. Because he seeks us as much as we seek him. No matter how hard we run and hide, God's there. He's really reaching out and grabbing a hold of us. He's coming to our house today. We don't have to shinny up a tree. We don't have to peer through the bushes. We don't have to just hope that he comes by. He diverts his path and he comes to us. We don't have to go to him. He comes to us. And we miss that so much in our life. We so worry about the other things that are going on. Now, none of us in this room are Zacchaeus. At least I hope and pray that you're not Zacchaeus. But some of us have done some things that are pretty sketchy. I won't say the girl in the scarf. I don't know. You just seem like you needed to be paid attention to. God said, look over at Casey. Oh, wait a minute. He did say, oh, look at her boyfriend. I've never seen anybody get that red so quick, but it's okay. The funny thing is though, God seeks us out and he finds us. And he wants us to experience life. He wants us to smile. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to feel all the joys that are out there. You know, this morning when I woke up, it was still dark. I rolled out of bed at 4:30 this morning. And I kind of made my way through the house, and I went and I found my Bible. And I was sitting there, and I was holding onto my Bible, and I was doing a little reading and a little praying, a little focusing on today. Because I like to prepare myself so when I come in here that I'm really in tune with God. And God told me these words this morning. Put the book down and look out the window. I laid my Bible down and I sat there in my desk chair and I was looking out the window and I watched the sun come up. And I realized at that point in life that God had a blessing for me today. The sun was coming up. The burdens that I carry around with me are they're not important. The worries that I have, they're not important. The things that I've done wrong, they're not important. As long as I live my life for him and devote myself to him, and I get to experience everything in life. Had surgery recently on my eyes. I was worried. There was apprehension. My daughter was even using this statement here. What if the laser moves and you go blind? Gee, thanks. Thanks for that little vote of confidence. But God restored my vision. I had my Damascus experience right there. God restored my vision, and I could see things clearly now because I really took off my old eyes and I put on new eyes, and I can experience all the wonders of life. I see everything clearly now. I see where God's at. Me personally, I long to experience everything he has for me. Everything. 22 years of marriage, 3 kids, a happy life, a beautiful church to be the minister of, lots of great friends, opportunities to experience life to its fullest. So he led me to this. If you have your Bibles, turn to page Psalm 139. I didn't look it up in our pew Bibles because, well, this happened this morning at 4:30, folks. And I'm going to read you from 1 to 14. And it says, Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and my resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on the tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me, even then the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. Where you are, the one who created my most inner parts, you knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. I know that very well. God knows you very well. Just like he knows me. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be on any committee. You just have to be you. You have to experience all God has for you. The high points, the low points, the sad points, and the happy points. I challenge you today, rejoice. The day is coming that the Savior is walking out of the tomb for you. Experience life. You don't need a funny hiding spot. The word tells us he already has found you. Please stand and join us in our closing song. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we leave this house today, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come together as a family, Lord. An opportunity to experience life to its fullest, Lord. I thank you for being our guiding light, Lord. I thank you for being our Savior, for being our Messiah. Lord, as we leave this house today, I ask you to bless this fellowship meal that you prepared for us. Use it for the nourishment of our bodies. Lead, guide, and protect us as you always do, Lord. We proclaim this in your Son's glorious and heavenly name. Amen.